Yeah, so if you know me, I'm a big researcher, like learning, I like reading. I love history as well. That was my original degree, original study path, actually. Even though it was secular, I took the opportunity to always write all my papers about Christians. but yeah, St. Patrick's Day, to me, yeah, is one of the important days, I guess, on the Christian calendar. But if you ever notice, pretty well every Christian holiday gets weirdly morphed into this strange cultural thing. And if you want to know why that is, you can blame the Americans. They always, when they get their hands on our holidays, they change them to make money, basically, is really what it's about. But yeah, to me, St. Patrick is probably one of the most influential Christians and one of the coolest people to ever live. And I'm also 50% Irish ethnically as well. My mom's side is Irish. Also found out that if you go only a few generations down the line, we have a bunch of Irish mobsters in our family. And I was like, oh, that explains why I'm so tough. But anyways, what I want to do is go over St. Patrick's story, glean some life lessons, connect those to scripture, and hopefully inspire you. So many of you have likely heard some of his story before, know a little bit about him. I was making jokes yesterday that I probably could actually get up here and tell you a complete fictional account of his story. Many people would believe it, just because it is just kind of just lost in the cultural soup that is out there, because what we do to celebrate him is radically different than who he is. Truthfully, I'd say if you want to celebrate St. Patrick, go to church, so here we are. but anyways, I think Christian history is something that's worth studying and worth knowing about. Because when you study the history of Christianity, you get to see God in action through hundreds of years and even thousands of years. And you see he's still the same. He's still been moving mightily. And you can hear all sorts of stories that can touch you and can minister to you and that you can relate with. Yeah, and you get to see that God has done tremendous things. You see all these amazing things in the Bible, and you can read through Christianity, God has still been doing amazing things again and again and again, right here to the present day. So St. Patrick, he lived about 400 years after Jesus. This is pretty early history in Christianity. And he wrote two books that we still have today. He was born somewhere on the island of Britain. Where exactly is a big matter of debate. You'll see why we don't exactly know where he's from soon enough as we go into more of his story. But basically at this time, Christianity had kind of been preached and spread to about the lower two-thirds of Britain. This is when the Roman Empire is still ruling and reigning. At this point, they'd actually become a Christian nation. Christianity was kind of like the main religion that was in the empire at this time. So it's spreading throughout the world. And Patrick's grandfather was a priest. He was a minister. And his father was a deacon, a leader in the church, but he was also a Roman senator. So Patrick actually would have grown up fairly wealthy, fairly well off, just because his dad worked for the government, essentially, and collected taxes, things like that. But, you know, when Patrick was growing up, he just didn't really make his faith his own. He kind of the typical teenager. He was just too cool for school and too cool for church. He was just very stubborn, very independently minded. You know, he was around a lot. He was around church a lot. He was, of course, the faith was in his family a lot, but he just never had much particular interest in it. But then when he was 16 years old, he was minding his business, hanging out at home, when all of a sudden his village was invaded by a bunch of Irish pirates. And he was ripped from his home and dragged to a boat and taken over to Ireland to be sold into slavery. Meanwhile, his village was burned to the ground. That's why we don't really know where he's from exactly, because he mentions it by name in his book, but it's long gone. Anyways, as he's taken to Ireland, he's sold into slavery. The person who buys him is actually a Druidic high priest named Milshu. So the Druids, you've probably seen them in movies. They're probably some of the scariest characters you'll ever see. They're pagan, basically. I mean, they worship all sorts of different gods, often connected to nature. And they do things like human sacrifice, cannibalism, all sorts of stuff. Scary, scary stuff. Into the dark arts, that kind of thing. So he's sold to a high priest, so really high up there. And so Patrick, he gets fairly familiar with all the pagan religion stuff. He learns to speak the Irish language. And as a slave, he's in charge of watching sheep, sent out into the pasture, has to watch sheep. And as he's out there watching sheep, his mind would often wander. And as he's kind of wondering, he began to think more and more about the things of God and what life was like before all this happened to him. And he eventually realized that his life was in a very poor state spiritually. And so he needed to repent. He needed to turn to God. He realized, you know, I'd been kind of living a life I shouldn't have been living. And so he turns to God and he becomes a Christian. And then he begins to pray regularly. And, you know, he's out there for years, and he just begins to pray more and more, to the point he was praying over 100 times a day. And he found that the more he would pray, the more his faith would just begin to blossom. And even though he was in a terrible circumstance, he would just have this joy and this strength that he couldn't explain. But 6 years into his captivity, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and it gave him a kind of like this vision and said that you need to run away. You need to run away from your slave owner. You need to head to the coast, and there's going to be a boat waiting for you, and you get to go home. So Patrick obeyed the voice of God speaking to him. He ran away, and this is a 320-kilometer journey. That's how deep he was inland. He wasn't riding a quad or anything. Wasn't flying. He had to walk and run, and he's obviously being pursued by, again, if you've ever seen movies about druids, they're scary. So he's taken off running from these guys, 320-kilometer journey, finally reaches the coast, and sure enough, there's a boat waiting for him with a captain that happened to be willing to take him back to Britain. Upon returning home, he's now in his early 20s, he just began to study Christianity more and more, get into the Bible, because he wouldn't have had that when he was in Ireland as a slave. And he just begins to get a better understanding of who God is and better understanding of theology. And then soon after, you know, he's back, it's only, a couple years even, and he has another vision. And in this vision, he hears the people of Ireland calling out and pleading with him to return, pleading with them to come and teach us about Jesus. So then Patrick began this process of becoming a priest. He traveled to France to complete his education, and he would tell everyone, you know, I need to go back to Ireland. I need to go preach to those people. But, of course, the powers that be didn't necessarily want to send him. Ireland, again, it was a very, very scary place. They had sent some missionaries before, and they got killed. So it was assumed if we send Patrick, he's just going to get killed. But, again, he was pretty adamant, I need to go to Ireland. I need to preach the gospel to these people. So eventually he's allowed to go. And as soon as he gets there, basically as soon as he arrives, there's an attempt on his life. A pagan chieftain runs towards him with a sword, tries to kill him. But God supernaturally just freezes that chieftain in place. And then that guy just repents, and he says, wow, okay, your God's obviously far more powerful than what I've been worshiping. And he repents and becomes one of Patrick's first converts, just like that. So then Patrick starts to make his way back to where he used to be a slave, back to his slave owners. Because he had this desire for years that he needed to share the gospel to Milshu and his whole family. He needed to see them get saved. However, just as Patrick is coming in view of Milshu's house, it turned out that Milshu had heard that Patrick was coming. And again, he's a druid. He's involved in lots of dark art stuff. So anyways, when he hears Patrick is coming, he actually lights himself on fire and burns down his whole house. This just shows you the evil that these people are under. So Patrick was absolutely horrified seeing this happen. He realized that he needs to pull this whole nation, you know, out of this demonic power that they are under, this worship of false gods. And he heard that there was an opportunity to do that. It just so happened that there was this big druidic festival happening called Beltane. And all the chieftains of Ireland were going to be there, all the druid leaders. And they were going to do all sorts of dark and twisted stuff there. And this event happened to fall on Easter weekend. So Patrick, he arrives at this event, and he knows what it's about. And how it works is that it's supposed to be kind of like a festival originally of darkness. And so everyone comes and there's not allowed to be a fire, a candle, nothing. You weren't even supposed to have that all across Ireland, no light of any kind. But then one morning the king was going to wake up and he would light the first fire outside his home. And then everyone else could then light a fire as well. And if you lit a fire before the king did, the main chieftain of Ireland, you'd be put to death. So Patrick knows all about this. And he goes to this festival, and the morning before everybody wakes up, he goes to a hill named nearby. It's called Slane Hill. And he lights the biggest bonfire he can possibly light. So morning comes, all the pagans wake up. They see there's this massive light on this hill nearby, this massive fire roaring. And of course, they're utterly incensed because someone didn't just break the rule a little bit, they really broke it. So a group of about 50 men, we got chieftains, warriors, druid priests, they all just take off to head to this hill to kill whoever lit this fire in defiance of their pagan religion. So they get there, and then there's Patrick. So initially, a couple soldiers run to him to try to kill him, and instead they get confused and start attacking each other. So then the priests start, going towards Patrick, realize maybe there's something supernatural going on, so they start doing their weird incantations, praying to their false gods, and let's just say they started doing some really weird supernatural and demonic things, Like, one summoned, a dark cloud, another one started levitating. This sounds really weird, but if you're at all familiar with things like witch doctors and shaman and medicine men, stuff can get weird. But anyways, Patrick just started praying, and the guy that was trying to summon some sort of dark cloud ended up throwing himself into the bonfire. The one that was levitating came crashing down and died on the rocks below. And then the king finally draws his sword and he runs towards Patrick to kill him, and then he gets frozen in place. Of course, the king is like, okay, whoever you serve is obviously far more powerful than who we serve. And so he surrendered, he repented, and he allowed Patrick now full kind of jurisdiction to go and preach the gospel throughout all of Ireland without being harassed anymore, without attempts on his life and chieftains coming after him. Patrick took full advantage of that. He went on to plant over 300 churches throughout that island. He baptized over 120,000 people, and he raised 33 people from the dead. He also established many monasteries where people were trained to become ministers, and he established a bunch of schools to teach the general population for the first time how to read and write. He also ended the Irish slave trade, and he brought an end to the constant fighting and brought peace to Ireland for the first time in their history. Many converts of St. Patrick took his name, including people with the last name Kirkpatrick, which is my mother's maiden name. That means Church of Patrick. Kilpatrick, meaning servant of Patrick. Fitzpatrick, meaning son of a follower of Patrick. But 15 years after he died, the Roman Empire fell. A bunch of barbarians invaded from all over the place. And again, it was Christianized at this point. But then all of a sudden, all these churches are being looted, Bibles are being burned, whole libraries are being burned of all sorts of other books, and Western Europe is plunged into barbarianism. They're sent back, really hundreds of years developmentally, back into the darkness, back into the paganism, back into worshiping kind of the natural world and things like that. And it just became a very evil and dark place very, very quickly. However, back in Ireland, it had been so Christianized and so well trained in the gospel with all the monasteries, all the schools. And they happened to have basically all of the writings of Western civilization. They had it in Ireland. They had copied it at length. And anyways, they went back into Europe and replanted Christianity, re-evangelized it, and re-civilized it. We also have Bibles that the Irish made during this time. We still have them to this day. So well over 1,000 years old, we still have them. We also still sing hymns from this time period as well. One would be Be Thou My Vision, if you've ever heard of that one. I've been listening to that one a lot the past few days. Beautiful song. So St. Patrick, he isn't just somebody that saved a nation. He's considered somebody that literally saved Western civilization. One of the most impactful human beings to ever live. And so is he worthy of having a day that we take to remember him and what he did? Yes, most definitely. And so I want to take some life lessons from him and then again apply it to scripture and apply it to you. So the first theme that's kind of in his story that's also a major theme scripturally is slavery. So freedom from slavery, big, big theme biblically. Of course, St. Patrick, he's kidnapped, taken to a foreign land, had to work as a slave, and he would constantly, have to battle the thought of I could be killed any minute. Because again, this is a human sacrifice kind of culture. They'd kill slaves all the time, sacrifice them to their gods. He likely would have been abused far more than we can even comprehend. Would have suffered incredible loneliness. But this, you know, this journey of slavery, this kind of this dehumanizing that can happen with slavery, that can really get a hold of your life and affect you in every way, this is something we actually can all relate to. This is described biblically. So first we're going to go to John 8. Jesus is teaching a bunch of Jewish people. And of course, if you know the Jewish story, you know that they have quite the history of slavery and freedom from slavery in their story. So we have, of course, Moses and the Exodus, them being rescued out of Egypt supernaturally. And actually, if you follow kind of the rest of the Old Testament, there's this continual pattern of whenever they're actually serving God, they live free lives. But whenever they walk away from God, next thing you know, they are under the thumb of some other power that essentially is enslaving them. This happens again and again. It's like this lesson they never learn. Serve God and be free, or move away from God and you're going to be basically a slave. And that's what happened again and again and again. So here we go, John 8, 31 through 36. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." So notice there's a really weird statement these guys make when they're talking to Jesus here. It's like they completely forgot their entire history as a nation. Said, "We've never been slaves to anyone." Really? They went all the way back to Abraham, at the very beginning, the first guy of the Jewish faith, who happened to be fairly rich and well off. They're like, "No, we're children of Abraham, okay? We've never been slaves to anyone." And truth is that, yeah, they had been actually, the Jews had been enslaved pretty well their entire existence, almost. Funnily enough, they were actually currently enslaved pretty well to the Romans. 97% of people were in abject poverty because of the Romans being in charge. These guys just forgot all of that. "We're not a slave to anybody." Jesus says everyone's a slave. Everyone's a slave to sin, in fact. He didn't even bother to correct their terrible history. He just went right to the core issue. He says, actually, everybody's a slave. Everyone is a slave to sin. Everyone's a slave to doing evil things. Everyone's a slave to acting in ways we're not supposed to. Everyone's a slave to things that fill up their lives, that, you know, cut God out of the equation. And this scenario that happened here, this conversation, really reveals something I think is quite true and still true to this day, and that is that many people are completely unaware of their slavery because it's all they've ever known. They don't realize what freedom is because they've never experienced it. They don't know that there's things in their life that are completely weighing them down and shackling them and keeping them in slavery. Paul taught on this concept, trying to get people to wake up to the fact that there's this reality between either slavery or freedom in this world. Romans 6:16, he says, "Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living." Think about it like this. St. Patrick was a slave before he was a slave. Before he became a slave in a physical sense, he was a slave in a spiritual sense. Obviously, something had a hold of his life because he was not at all connecting to the faith. He was in an amazing environment, in an amazing family. His needs were met, yet he was completely uninterested in God. Something was running his life that was pulling him away from God. Maybe, you know, like a typical teenager, he was just trying to be cool, trying to fit in. He lived for the approval of others, and so he was a slave to the approval of others. Maybe he was just lazy, also typical of teenagers, sorry. But he's slave to comfort. We don't really know, but my main theory, though, would be that considering he is rich, and I have met a few rich kids in my life, he's probably a little bit overly confident, maybe a little bit arrogant, thought he was the bee's knees, coolest kid in town, whatever. And the typical behavior of a rich kid, a little bit stuck up maybe. But ultimately, you know, life threw him quite the curveball. Ripped right out of his comfort, ripped right out of his scenario where he was the top dog, cool kid in the village, whatever, where he was rich, living in comfort, pulled right out of that, all of a sudden he's in slavery. But while he was physically in slavery, he realized the core issue that was in his life. First and foremost, he was a slave to sin. Long before he was really a slave, he wasn't living the way he was supposed to be living. There was something that was off inside. So as he began to spend time with God, he eventually repented. He turned from all of his wicked ways. He stopped living for himself and started living for God. And he realized that, you know, when he was in charge of his life, things didn't necessarily actually work out all that well. So he decided for the first time in his life to put his life in God's hands. I don't know what your situation is, but I know that if God isn't running your life, something else is, or someone else is. And to truly live in freedom, God has to be first in our life. He needs to have dominion. He needs to have authority over every other area of our life. Because if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. We need to be far more humble than those two guys that Jesus was talking to that said, we're not a slave to anybody. We've never been a slave. We need to realize our history and be honest with ourselves and humble enough to admit that we have a proclivity to slavery. We have a natural tendency to be enslaved and taken over by things and other people. We have a natural tendency to let things run our lives in ways they shouldn't, or let other people run our lives in ways they shouldn't. So we need to be humble enough to be continually checking ourselves to make sure that we are not being enslaved to someone or something else. We need to especially be mindful of the areas in our life that God has already pulled us out of. Past slave masters, past things that used to really run our life that God set us free from. We have to be very conscious of what our weak points have been. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." I think too many Christians do this. They go right back into what God has pulled them out of. They go right back into the thing that messed up their life in the first place. And we need to be conscious of not going back to what we've been set free from. Why I think that riches and being rich was St. Patrick's kind of big stumbling block when he was a kid is that later in life, he was constantly given all of these gifts. People were trying to lavish him in wealth constantly. A lot of chieftains trying to buy favor from him, stuff like that. And he would never accept a single thing from anybody. This was like the culture of the time was giving gifts, of course, and buying favor, things like that. He would have nothing to do with that cultural practice. Because my theory would be that, yeah, he did not want to go back and be a slave to what he used to be a slave to. He wanted to walk in freedom and stay in freedom. And that's something that we need to have as well. If you want to walk in freedom, you got to stay in freedom. We cannot go back to our chains. We cannot go back to the things that have beset us again and again and again. We need to cling to God with everything that we have. And we need to remember that a life that is lived for God is the best life there is. He satisfies in a way the world never will. So why would we go back to something that does not satisfy our soul? And in fact, it enslaved our soul. Bring us to our second point. Big theme in Patrick's story, also biblically, is redemption. So Patrick's life shows a redemption from slavery in both senses, both in a spiritual and a physical sense. So again, he's this teenager. He's raised in church, doesn't really engage with it. He has something going on in his soul that is preventing him from actually having a relationship with God, actually making a commitment. He really was just in church because of his grandparents' faith and his parents' faith. Truthfully, he was living the slave to sin life. Of course, he later becomes a slave physical, in a physical sense. Then, of course, he's granted freedom from that. And, of course, also granted freedom from his slavery to sin when he becomes a Christian. You'll know when he devotes his life fully to God, his life changes spiritually, physically, emotionally, everything. Out of all the darkness that he was living in comes a glorious light, and a light that impacted his nation and really impacted the world. This is what God is in the business of. He's in the business of redemption. Redemption is really God's calling card. That's what he's all about. And I want to encourage you today, I don't know your situation, but I do know that with God, radical redemption is possible. Some of you might be like Patrick's parents or grandparents, and you have a kid that's kind of like St. Patrick, or a grandkid that's kind of like St. Patrick, what he was like as a teen, disinterested, maybe older than that. Not really, you know, getting a hold of the faith. But you'll note that despite Patrick's disinterest in the faith as a teen, his parents and his grandparents kept sowing seeds of faith, hoping that one day they would blossom. And boy, did they ever. If you're in a circumstance like that where there's somebody that you are praying for, that you are wanting to really live for God, but they're not right now, keep sowing those seeds of faith. And keep praying that one day they're going to blossom. Because if God can do this in the life of St. Patrick and pull him out of darkness into glorious light, he can do the same for that person you're believing for. The more seeds you sow, the more God can water. Or maybe you're like St. Patrick and you found yourself enslaved to something. You're in a big mess. Someone or something has really messed up your life. And maybe you're in a situation where it feels like there's no way out. Well, today you need to know that radical redemption is possible. Again, that God can bring glorious light out of the deepest darkness that's in your life. When you put your life in God's hands and you devote yourself to him, just watch what he can do. In Genesis 50:20, a story that's actually oddly similar to St. Patrick's in some respects would be the story of Joseph, where he was taken away as a slave as a teenager. And ultimately, he ended up saving multiple nations from a great famine. God radically used that situation. And Joseph was even able to save the same people that sold him into slavery in his first place, his family. But anyway, kind of after that was all over, and he's talking to his brothers about kind of what had happened, he says this: what you meant for evil, God meant for good. See, God can bring a new meaning to your pain, to your hurt, and to your disappointment. Whatever the world has done to you, God can rewrite the story. He can radically rewrite it. He can take the most terrible evil, the most deepest pain, the biggest hurts, and he can rewrite it in a way that it can become your biggest triumph and your greatest joy. We need to be reminded of God's ability to redeem stories continually. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." The King James Version, older English version of this, says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So if you've been redeemed by the Lord, say so. If God has brought an amazing redemption in your life, you have a story that needs to be told and needs to be shared, because there's other people out there that need to hear that God redeems. They might be where you used to be, and they need to know that there's hope. They need to know that God can still rescue, he can still save, he can still turn any situation around, he can still bring light out of dark. He can still bring good out of evil. He can still bring joy out of pain. So you need to be telling your story, because the world needs to hear it. And this is part of why we study Christian history, because you'll see redemption story after redemption story after redemption story after redemption story. God is in the business of redemption, and he has been for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Thirdly, another kind of story that's within St. Patrick's story, another life lesson, is a story, of course, of forgiveness. It's a type of redemption. Could you imagine the hatred that he would have had for the Irish people? Taken out of everything that he ever known, taken away from his family, abused terrifically, enslaved for years. And how that could somehow turn to love. All of us have gone through a circumstance where somebody has hurt us. Somebody has hurt us very deeply, and we're still feeling the after effects of that. Maybe we've been betrayed or whatever, but it always stings deeply. And we're stuck in a situation where often we're just really mad at them. We're frustrated with them. We thirst for vengeance. We want to hurt them more than they ever hurt us. And it's almost like we have a venom in our system, like we've been bit by a snake and our blood is curling within us. This anger, this hatred deep within us. See, but with God, he can even go into the depths of our soul and take that venom right out of our system. You can go to him in your greatest hurt and in your greatest pain. You can give that to him and say, "I'm not going to hold this anymore. Can you hold it for me?" And that's what biblical forgiveness is. It's not saying that what the other person did to you is right. It's giving your pain to Jesus, going to the cross and saying, "Could you take this for me? And I'm not going to hold on to this desire of vengeance, even though I am just in this feeling I have towards this person and this wrongdoing that happened to me. I'm going to let go of my desire for vengeance. All these dark feelings that I have within me to unleash my wrath upon this person, I'm just going to let that go. I'm going to refuse from now on to let this person have a hold over my life like they have for years. I'm not going to have this torment in my soul. I'm not going to have this plaguing of my mind. I'm giving this all to you. Forgiveness is saying I'm not going to be a slave to the pain that this person caused. See, I'd imagine as St. Patrick was out there tending to the fields that his mind constantly wandered to hatred. Constantly was going to, man, I hate these Irish people. How dare they did this to me? These are terrible pagan human sacrificing, cannibalizing, crazy people. I hate them. I'm sure his mind went to that continually. But you'll notice as he began to spend time with God, the more and the more he spent with him, the more and the more his heart began to heal. You'll note that he didn't stay a slave. He didn't stay in that situation. He got out of that. God pulled him out of that situation. And then years and years later, God began to put in him this love for the Irish. And the love, it really, in a natural sense, it does not make sense of how that could happen. How could you ever love somebody that was your slave owner? Yet this happened with Patrick. God radically got a hold of his heart that he was able to love the people that hurt him most. And that's a very extraordinary thing to have happen, but that is, which it just shows you what's possible with God. Interestingly enough, you know, when Jesus hung on the cross, he was being executed. He famously looked down at the Roman soldiers that were performing his execution, and he said this, Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That's some extraordinary grace right there. Literally in the middle of being tortured and executed and saying, Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing. Something, a little thing we often forget is the very first people to become Christians, the very first people to accept, you know, that Jesus kind of died for their sins, that he really was God. They're actually the exact same people that killed Jesus. After Jesus drew his last breath upon the cross, those same soldiers came to make him Lord and Savior. Some supernatural stuff happened when God, when Jesus died upon the cross. There was an earthquake and people were being risen, rose from the dead. The temple curtain torn in two, stuff like that. But anyways, after all this is happening, just as Jesus draws his last breath, Matthew 27:54 here. It says, the Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified with the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, this man truly was the Son of God. See, God's ability, an extraordinary ability to forgive, to have grace, it can bring people to him. And Jesus, he exemplified this ability, this divine ability to forgive the greatest hurts, the greatest pains. That's an extreme circumstance. And if Jesus can forgive in that, he can lead you to forgive in any circumstance you're in as well. He can help you do the same. He can help you get rid of all that hurt and that pain. And radically, he could even take you all the way to loving the same people that hurt you. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be best friends with somebody that hurts you, especially if they've never actually repented or changed. But forgiveness means that hatred doesn't have to flow through you. And this person that hurt you doesn't need to have a hold over your life. And we need to go to God in this process, and he can help us let go of all sorts of pain and hurt. I've experienced this firsthand. Years ago, I was in my younger 20s. I had a lot of run-ins with a particular character where he really bullied me and belittled me just constantly. And he was like this master manipulator, and I had a lot of problems with him. And it was just like this constant thing. I honestly hated being in his presence because it was just torment. And I had a pretty extreme dislike for this guy. And I'll even use the word hate. And did he plague my mind? Yeah, he did. Even when I moved away and got away from that situation, often he just plagued my mind. I had this vengeance that was in my heart. Actually, about a year ago, I was placed in a situation where I knew we were going to run into each other at this event. And I was lamenting this because I was like, I'm going to be tormented. My mind's going to be tormenting me when I'm in this guy's presence. And I'm going to feel a lot of shame. And I'll just feel shy, and I won't be able to think straight because I'll just be tormented by what this guy had done to me. And so I went to the Lord repeatedly and I said, I don't want this event ruined to me. I don't want to be carrying this hatred. I don't want to be carrying this venom that's in my system. And I kept going to him trying to deal with forgiveness and saying, I want to let this pain go. I want to let this hurt go. Anyways, when the time came for me to see this guy, I was actually stunned because I had no hatred in my heart. I had no venom in my veins all of a sudden. I had no shame. I was completely unbothered by his presence. I didn't have, my mind wasn't spinning to go back to what he had done. It was all just gone. And I actually had a completely good time at this event. We're not friends today or anything like that. In fact, I think still some of those bad behaviors he had in his life are still very much so there. But he no longer has any hold over my life. That hold that he used to have, that plaguing of my mind and my heart that used to be there is completely gone. And I'm walking in a freedom that I didn't even think possible. So I don't know what kind of circumstances you're dealing with, but I know who my God is. And I know that healing is possible in any circumstance. And I know that it's even possible that God can so radically heal your heart that you could find yourself with the love for the people that hurt you most in a way that does not at all make sense. And God can even give you opportunities to minister and be filled with grace to someone that hurt you, which can be something that pulls them closer to God. So the last aspect and kind of the final part of St. Patrick's story, and we'll call the musicians back to the instruments here. So the last part of St. Patrick's story that I want to touch on that I think that can relate to our lives is this theme of impact. See, with God, all things are possible, Matthew 19:26. And that's something we need to remember. See, St. Patrick's story shows you what is possible when you put your life in God's hands. Because with God, he can break every chain. He can redeem every situation. He can remove all the bitterness and the unforgiveness. And he can bring a healing where you don't even think it's possible. St. Patrick was someone whose life was fully surrendered to God. And it showed because it allowed God to use him in extraordinary and incredible ways that literally changed the world. And I know this is like 1,600 years ago, but again, God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. We still serve the exact same God. He is still fully capable of bringing people out of darkness into his glorious light. He is still capable of bringing nations to him. He is still capable of moving supernaturally through people. He's still capable of defeating the powers of darkness. Our God is still the same. I believe God is calling us all to make extraordinary impacts. And it's not on our own strength, it's in his. I believe that we've been called to this area for a reason. We've been called to this Lakeland region for a reason, and it's to make an impact for Christ. I believe God wants to bring this whole region and beyond to him. But to go there and to get there, we need to be sold out for Jesus. We need to make him Lord over every area of our life. We need to realize that there's nothing in this world that can ever satisfy us like he can. There's nothing in this life that can ever give us a better life than God can. He is who we are meant to be living for. We're not on this planet to serve ourselves. We're on this planet to serve him. So we're going to end in prayer here, and we're going to go into a time of worship. Just to once again set our eyes upon the King that's on the throne, the only God that actually exists, the one that wants to have a relationship with you and radically change your life and bring a healing to your life like something you just could have never imagined. He wants to bring a redemption to your life far beyond anything you could have ever thought or imagined. He's the best storyteller that there is, so you need to let him write your story. After this song is over, we'd love to pray with you here at the front. If you want prayer for really anything, whether it's you need some redemption, or maybe you need to deal with some forgiveness issues, or maybe you just need to make Jesus Lord of your life because you've been realizing that there's been things in my life that have basically been enslaving me and I need to walk in freedom. If you want prayer for any of those things, we'd love to pray with you after the service just over here. But right now, we're just going to go first into a time of prayer and then into one of worship. Just to once again put our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So just join me in prayer here. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the life of St. Patrick. He is in the line of many, many people who you have used to do extraordinary things. And God, we thank you that we still have all this history of all these stories of you moving again and again and again and saving nations and beyond even full continents of people. God, we just say, do it again. God, we pray that you would use us in extraordinary ways to bring people to you. And God, I know there's people in this room and even listening online that are in all sorts of different situations. God, if there's people out there that are just slaves to sin, that there's evil that's running their life, I pray today would be the day that that changes. That they'd say, you know what, God, I want to surrender my life to you. I want to turn from my wicked ways. I want to turn from running my own life, and I want to let you run my life. And God, I just pray that, yeah, that they would experience to say that supernatural joy and that supernatural peace as you just begin to get into their life and just begin to change things around. God, for those that are in need of redemption, I pray they're going to be inspired today that redemption is possible. It's what God is in the business of doing. And God, I pray they're going to be able to have hope that redemption is possible, and they're going to have faith that what they're hoping for is going to actually happen. And I pray that that's just going to fuel them as they walk each day, that they're going to have this faith that's within them, saying that God is on the move. God is a redeemer of all things. He's in the business of redeeming. And so I'm just going to keep praying. I'm going to keep sowing seeds of faith, hoping and believing that one day they're going to blossom. And I pray that just even the torment people are under and the worries they're under is just going to break. And they're going to realize, no, God is still on the throne. He is still in the business of redeeming. And he's still just as good at it as he's always been. And God, those that are dealing with feelings of unforgiveness, that they've been hurt badly by somebody, and they're just filled with all sorts of pain inside them. God, I pray today is going to remind them they don't have to walk around like that. That you can go into the depths of their heart and remove their deepest pain and their deepest hurts and their deepest disappointments and frustrations. And that hold that person has over their life, you can remove that. God, and in exchange for all of that dark hurt and pain and frustration and rejection, instead you can give them love and hope and peace and acceptance and joy uncontainable. And God, I pray for anyone here that is feeling purposeless, feeling their life doesn't really matter. God, I pray you're just going to minister to their soul and remind them that they were made to make an extraordinary impact on this earth. That St. Patrick was just a regular person that gave their life over to God and extraordinary things happened. And again, God is still the same. God does the extraordinary out of the ordinary on the regular. God, I pray that that's just going to fuel us. This excitement that we are here to make an impact. That our time here on this earth, in this place, it's not an accident that we are here in this region for a reason, and that's to bring many people to you, and that's to see society change, that's to see darkness turn into your glorious light. So God, I pray that people here will surrender their lives fully to you so they can be used fully by you. And we would just begin to see amazing and extraordinary things happen through our lives. In your name we pray, amen.